This is the second half of my conversation with Desmond Griffiths, CEO of Electromech, and Bill Remy, CEO of TBM Consulting Group. In this part of our conversation, we talk about where the high-performance culture at Electromech comes from and how they hire people with the right experience and attitudes.
That high-performance culture, I can imagine someone listening to this and wondering, okay, how do we get there from here? So where did that come from?
It's kind of unorthodox, but I talked to Bill at one point. When we go through our hiring process, we find there's a common element in everybody that we hire and everybody that works at this organization. At some point in their development, they had to have competed on some sort of team at a high level, whether it's athletic or academic, it's a chess team or track team or football team. They had to have understood what it means to set goals and work towards something, to be disciplined in their training, to understand how to get the best out of people, to understand different personalities and how they respond when they're challenged. So they're already honing those skills before they come to work for us. And I thought at first it was by accident, and then I understood that really it was by design. Though I didn't know what it was, we were always looking for that value, those characteristics in people, where they understood and lived and wanted to live in a challenging environment, and they were comfortable with being challenged. So that was the first thing, hiring people that have those values. Once they have those values, all that changes is really the environment, the circumstances, the conditions. But they're already accustomed to how to play. So that's really, I think, how it started. The second thing we did is me just kind of saying to them, look, trust me, you're going to be taken care of as an individual if you first learn to function and put the needs of the team ahead of your own. So if the team wins, you will win. And them really trusting and understanding that, because in corporate America, it's always about climbing the ladder and trying to get to the top. And sometimes people don't really care who they step on their way to the top. But I've really fostered and created an environment here where they understand that they will be taken care of. And it's my responsibility to make sure I reward well, set the bar high, set expectations high, but come through and reward well when they meet it. But I reward the team, and therefore they end up benefiting it as individuals on that team. So the team concept is not just a word that you see on walls. It's not something that's thrown around. It's really something that's lived. And it means that when they come to you with a problem, they come to you with a difficult situation, you're not throwing it back on them and saying, that's your job to figure that out. But you see yourself as a facilitator, someone that can help to spawn some creativity and bring many perspectives to bear on solving an issue. Because, as Bill really said, many people coming together to tackle an issue, when those perspectives really come together, the best decision is really going to be made at the end of the day. Because I only have one perspective. Bill only has one perspective. But if we hear the different perspectives being voiced, all of a sudden, clarity will come in terms of what the best course of action is.
A lot of manufacturers talk about a talent shortage or having difficulty finding people with the right skills. How are you solving that problem?
Part of it certainly is getting it out there in terms of what's important to us, where we're headed, and looking for people that align with us in terms of our values and our purpose. And so we'll make sure that we're involved in the universities and the schools, the trade schools, and getting their brightest and best. So we are definitely integrated that way. But a big part of it too is just homegrown talent. We tell stories all over this place of people that started out as janitors during the co-op experiences while they were at university, that later became general managers of divisions. Folks that started off operating a press and became a foreman of a tooling division. There are stories everywhere of opportunities that were created for folks to really advance and utilize the full set of their skills. So it's not just about collecting a paycheck, because that paycheck's important, and certainly you want to take care of the needs of your family, but everybody wants to be challenged. Everyone wants to feel fulfilled. Everyone wants to understand that they're contributing and that contribution is valued. And so making sure that you meet those non-monetary needs, they're just as important. And so we really pride ourselves on having a lot of homegrown talent, just training people up and bringing them into different levels of leadership. You know, and you know, without going on for too long, our purpose statement, I talked to you about our values, but our purpose statement really is to deliver the impossible every day. And we do that with four things in mind. The first is partnership, so mutually beneficial goals with our customers and with each other. You know, the second is developing strategic leaders, so growth. You know, we want to make sure that we are giving people the right kind of information to make decisions. So I say strategic leaders, not just leaders, because they're making decisions at the source, and they need to be agile, and we need to be responsive at the source. So being strategic leaders, meaning using that information to make strategic decisions, is what we're about. And then it's service, service to each other, service to our customers, and then finally, differentiation. There's a lot of moxie that comes with saying, hey, we're going to deliver the impossible today or every day. You know, and it's not something we've really said about ourselves. We realized that our customers were saying that about us. Hey, you know, people say this is impossible. It's a difficult situation, yet you guys do it. You're going after this difficult stuff. So they say, hey, you deliver the impossible every day. And we found that's, in fact, how we differentiated ourselves in our space. So our purpose statement really is why we get up and come to work every day. And it really is motivating. It's really inspiring. It attracts people from the outside, but it causes people on the inside to aspire to different levels of leadership.
Sounds like it's really aligned there with your culture and your mission and how you're developing people.
Alignment's really important in terms of execution, obviously. So, yes, we do strive very, very, very hard to make sure that alignment takes place from the top to the bottom as well as the bottom right back up to the top.
And, Bill, do you have anything to add on this, the people side of this topic?
Well, I think there's a couple things. As Desmond mentioned, alignment is a big deal, and you have to work at that and nurture that every day, every week, every month. It's not something that just happens. It requires effort, and it requires constant attention from the leadership team. And the other piece of it is, I think that's a little bit unspoken, you know, is driving your growth engine for your business so you can create these opportunities for people, right? It becomes self-fulfilling in a way. As you build culture in an organization, as you build alignment, as you create the ability to win the day, win the week, win the month, and deliver for your customers, then you can drive your growth engine, which now that just creates this flywheel that you can keep just applying effort to, and it becomes easier to keep that flywheel going. Now you have to apply. Part of the challenge becomes continuing to find those strategic breakthroughs that says, what's the next thing to make that flywheel go faster, right? So you apply effort to get the flywheel going, and it becomes easier to keep it at that level. Then it's how do we go faster, or how do we get a bigger flywheel, so to speak? And so I think, but we shouldn't overlook the fact that growth drives the ability to create these opportunities. So that the growth strategy for an organization has to be key in leveraging, you know, is integral. So that you have your management system that helps you get there, but you have to have the growth engine that works with it to help feed the business.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree with that. And, you know, I kind of danced over the financial piece, but one of the things that we do is we take our financials and we break them down into sort of four major buckets. One being the growth piece that Bill talked about. So we're driving growth. The other thing we're driving is productivity. The third thing we're driving is cash. And then our fourth is talent. So everything we do fits into one of these buckets. And that's part of the vertical alignment. It's part of the execution piece, which we do well here. If it doesn't fall into one of those buckets, we're not doing it. So this is how it helps us to stay aligned as an overall team. You know, because a team concept sometimes makes for slow decision making. You know, the entrepreneur will say, hey, I know all there is to know about this business. I've got all the facets figured out. If I just have to consult with myself, I can make a pretty darn fast decision. But but it won't necessarily be a good decision. But if you can get all of the perspective from the teammates to bear on an issue and get it done quickly, decide quickly, that's the ideal situation. So you set the parameters. So everybody understands the parameters. Everyone understands the game, and now you can have quick decision-making. But those four things we drive through the business in a very, very aggressive way, and it helps to keep that alignment going. And growth, yeah, absolutely. If you're not driving growth, you can't provide opportunity. And if you're not providing opportunity, how do you keep talent? You know?
Right.
Talent wants to go where the opportunities are.
Right. Curious, when the demand, the market demand dropped away in 2009, how did you manage that with your culture, and how did you respond to that?
Yeah, for sure. So one of the things that we did during that period, well, two things happened. The first, because we really play in a niche space, again, the difficult to do, more complex components, not the real commoditized components, we found that our customers had a vested interest in keeping us around. So jobs that would ordinarily go to somebody else came to us. You know, they weren't really difficult in nature, but the customer really wanted to make sure that we would be there when the market turned and when they needed us again. So we found a lot of favor in the eyes of our customers during that period. The second thing that we were able to do is we sensed that the downturn was coming. Again, looking at our measures and our matrix and the way we run our system, some of them are external facing. So we were watching the main KPIs in the marketplace, and we knew that the downturn was coming. So we took some labor steps. We took some hours. We curtailed hours. We also went through a period where we did a reduction in pay. And you would think that those things would cause people to run out the door and find somewhere else where you know, things where you've got a land flowing with milk and honey and things are a little bit better. But because they trusted our judgment in terms of where we were headed and how quickly we sensed what was happening, we didn't understand how deep the downturn would be, but we understood it was coming. They said, hey, you know, this is a team we want to be a part of, and when we're out of this cycle, I know that the company will be there to reward us and to help us. And so true to that, we in fact brought all of their wages back, the hours came back, once we came out of the cycle. But without a concept of team, they would not have looked at it the same way. They wouldn't have looked at it and said, hey, we're in this together and we'll get through it together. They would have looked at it and said, the company's being unfair to me, you know, but we've demonstrated that we're there to help them and to provide and share the wealth in times of prosperity, as well as to be in it together in contracting when it's absolutely necessary. So the culture, believe it or not, helped us to get through it, that whole culture centered on team.
That's great. Okay. So going forward, so what are some of your biggest challenges, both from a business and operational standpoint, and what are you doing to address them?
Sure. Well, right now we're in what we call a growth curve, and I chuckle a little bit because I remember the former CEO when I started back in 95, 96 said, hey, we're in a growth curve. But that's all I've known in this business is growth, 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 and more growth. And so here we are really executing on our what we call our ESP, our Electromax strategic plan. And one of the things that's very difficult when you're growing is to maintain that culture. So I talked about operational excellence, and we talked about process innovation. Process innovation is what's causing us to grow, and we're certainly taking advantage of some of the changes in the marketplace. But while you're growing, the operational excellence piece is really difficult to maintain. You have to be very, very disciplined to make sure that folks don't start taking shortcuts and that they continue to execute on those things that have made us successful. So we find as we grow that we have to intensify and spend more time on operational excellence, making sure that we're backfilling in areas where needed, that the folks that move into those positions really understand everything that's required to execute. So training and development as you grow becomes a big, big piece for us. It's not something that we win at every day. I can see instances where we've lost, but it is our main focal point. It's the thing that can really get away from you in a hurry, And quite frankly, and you've seen some companies that, you know, they've grown, and the and when they've arrived, they've looked and said, this company is different. You know, it's not the same company that brought us here. We're not executing as well. Our focus has changed, and it's because that operational excellence piece has gotten away from them. So that's the area that really we spend as leaders a lot of time on, and just making sure that everybody gets it and everybody's executing as necessary.
What are some of the key indicators that you watch? I know a lot of companies, when they grow, their costs kind of increase in lockstep with their sales.
For us, it is we're watching things like our throughput on the floor. So uptime is our overarching goal on the stamping side of our business, and velocity is our overarching goal on the tooling side of our business. So a KPI that we are closely watching on the stamping side is uptime, making sure our uptime stays above 80%. And a whole lot goes into that. It means that the indirect folks are responding as necessary. By that, I mean our tool makers, our maintenance folks, our quality folks, to ensure that that asset continues to run and continues to run effectively. When we start to see our uptime wane, it means that somehow our support team is getting taxed, and they're getting pulled in too many directions, and we're not achieving as we should. The other thing that we watch is what we call our vertical alignment piece. We do what we call skip level management, and that means that the folks that report directly to me, if we've talked about objectives that we're going to execute on, I will actually occasionally go and talk to their direct reports to see if the message is has been put to them in an unfiltered way, if they clearly understand what the play is, you know, what the goal is of the day. So any sort of miscues or misalignment, we go through the process to make sure everyone's aligned again. So that alignment piece as we grow is huge. Those are two things out of a number of things. Those are two things I watch.
Oh, great. So, Bill, do you have anything to add on how operational excellence supports the growth efforts like at Electromech?
Well, I think Desmond said it well, and I think that is always the challenge when you're growing, is to stay focused on sustaining and managing your standard work and your execution that's in place today, because you're usually absorbing growth can be a challenge, and depending on how fast it's coming out you. You know, I think in a broader context, many companies today are struggling to find growth in many industries, so that's a challenge for them. But I think the message, but at the same time, I've seen cases where companies are flat to very small growth, and yet they still struggle to stay focused on the daily execution. And I think, you know, if there's a key message for leadership, it's you just can't ever take your eye off the ball on managing daily execution and standard work and sticking to the known best practices, because if you stop, you'll start losing performance. And so it's just key, I think, that you sustain that rigor around what you have in terms of your daily expectations.
And understanding if you meet those daily expectations, yeah, Everything else takes care of itself.
That's right. That's right. And weaving in, the thing I think they do really well here at Electromech is constantly looking for innovation in the process. You know, I think one of the things that I think is interesting, and we saw this in a little bit in the factory today that is a reminder, is that they don't look at just the non-value-added activities in the process. They look at even the value-added steps to see where there's more time that can be taken out. Now you could get into a debate that whether it's value-added or not, that becomes irrelevant. What they're looking at is the whole process that says, where can I take time out of it? Where can I improve productivity, quality? How can I increase the velocity? They talk about that a lot. How do I increase the velocity through the process or through the facility? Which I think is something that, you know, everyone would benefit from looking at, is constantly increasing velocity.
Okay, great. Thank you. Anybody, Desmond or Bill, do you have any other things to add?
Well, you know, I think that the daily management process is an evolution. You know, start somewhere. Don't let perfect get in the way of better. I think that you start by by just making sure that you're out there on the factory floor measuring the things that are important to the business. But we've evolved to the point where, you know, we kidded when we walked the floor today. These measures, I can't take them away from the employees. You know, it's really become their own. So it started out as a process that was being pushed from the leadership down. Now it's something the employees embrace, and they won't let go of it. I couldn't pry it from their hands if I tried, because it's the way that they understand their world and their contribution. So it really takes over and gains a momentum on its own. It takes on a life of its own, and you know, I just encourage people to jump on that train, start moving aggressively this way. You'll find after a while, the employees run with it. You don't have to.
Yeah, I think as a takeaway, you know, what the team and the organization has accomplished here, I think, is there are several lessons, I think, for other people to think about that can be thought-provoking around how your culture drives and integrates into your daily management system, how you align that with your strategic objectives and what you're trying to accomplish with the business, and how that culture can just be the underlying foundation and the fabric that makes it possible. Because if you can go implement the best management system from an operational excellence and a problem-solving technique, but without the culture and the leadership aspect to drive that, it won't work as well. You'll get some benefit, but the real lift comes from the culture and the leadership attention to that.
Absolutely agree.
Okay, very good. Thank both of you for taking the time to share your thoughts and experiences today. It's been very enlightening, and it's very interesting to hear about a culture or a high-performing culture that is working very well there at ElectroMac.
Take care.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you very much for listening to the entirety of this great conversation with Desmond Griffiths, CEO and President of ElectroMac, and Bill Remy, CEO of TBM Consulting Group. This is part of a series of conversations on leading chains sponsored by TBM. Stay tuned for future episodes.